Joining us on the phone now is Eric Smith, who is lucky to have his name as well, except he has to throw in some double underscores there to get on Twitter. But Eric Smith joins us from Raptors training camp out in Victoria, BC. Eric, of course, the Raptors play-by-play voice on the radio. Eric, what's going on out in BC, my friend?
Sherifforde.
There you go.
Winner.
That is correct. You must follow her on Twitter.
Of course.
I'm just kidding.
And Rob Wong. I can't spell that.
No, it's fine. Day one.
Hey, anybody that spells Eric with a K too?
Oh, that is true.
Follow me. Just don't even bother. You know, that's the way the devil spells it. No K's in Eric. All right.
So day one of training camp. What can you tell us? Anything happening?
You know, honestly, it's kind of weird. Michael Grange and I were talking about this earlier today. Is that, you know, when you kind of compare it to the other top teams in the East, specifically Cleveland and Boston, of course, with the trade that went down between those two clubs, let alone the other moves that Boston made with, you know, Avery Bradley out of town and Gordon Hayward coming in and you know, Kelly Olynyk going down to Miami and Amir Johnson's now in Philadelphia. I mean, a lot of changes with the Celtics. And of course, now Dwayne Wade with the news today with the Cavaliers, let alone that Isaiah Thomas deal with Kyrie Irving out of town. So many changes with those two teams. Toronto, I guess Washington, Milwaukee probably in the same boat as well. Not a whole lot of changes between those three teams. And as much as we think about the Raptors losing, you know, Patrick Patterson and Damari Carroll and Corey Joseph and P.J. Tucker, it's still the core of Lowry and DeRozan with, you know, an Ibaka that came in late last year. There's still Valanciunas there. You look at the second unit, and it's DeLon Wright, it's Norm Powell, it's Jakob Poeltl, it's you know, Lucas Nogueira and Pascal Siakam. It's very young, but it's guys that have been around for at least a couple of years, if not 3 years. It's familiarity. So I think the Raptors are kind of hitting the ground running, and the only real kind of intriguing storyline, I suppose, that was sort of the primary focus of today is what will happen with that starting small forward slot that's, you know, been vacated by Damari Carroll in Brooklyn now. Is it going to be CJ Miles or is it going to be Norm Powell? And you know, it's only one day in, so nobody really knows yet and nobody's really tipping their hand. But it sort of sets up an interesting dynamic, Rob and Sherry. Like if Dwayne Casey goes with CJ Miles, helping space the floor for DeRozan and Lowry with a three-point shooter, one of the best in the game, that's great. But it certainly makes your second unit extremely young with no veteran presence at all, with the primary guys off that bench being Powell and Wright and Van Vliet and Poeltl and Siakam. The flip side of that, I guess, is if you start Norm Powell, it brings a little bit more athleticism, maybe a little bit more defense. It maybe takes away from the offensive needs from Norm Powell because you've got enough on the floor with Lowry, DeRozan, and Ibaka, but then it at least gives you one veteran piece in that second unit to kind of bring along with the Wrights and the Poeltls, et cetera, by bringing Miles off the bench. That's kind of, to me, the one real key storyline that we look at here as camp begins.
It's funny, Eric, the way you were talking about how the NBA was just crazy in the offseason. I'm sure all the beat writers are going, oh, thank God, this season is about to start because, you know, we can catch our breath here. It has been an crazy, crazy offseason. But, you know, you're talking about, you know, CJ Miles, Norman Powell, and then all these young kids. But, like, it's almost like meshing two teams, like an older line and a young line. It's like bringing two teams together. That's going to be the real puzzle, I'm guessing, for coaches.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you kind of hit on it, Sherry, when you think about the meshing of the two teams. It's almost like, you know, it maybe sounds a little bit cliche, but it's true. It's the Raptors and it's the Raptors 905. I mean, your second year, let's just assume for a second that Miles starts. And that, if I'm going with my gut, I think that's the way it will go as the dust settles, I think. But that's not to say that Norm Powell still won't play 28, 30, 32 minutes a night. I think he's going to have, you know, that sort of that second unit slash starter type role type minutes. But if it's Powell and Poeltl and Wright and Siakam, that's 905. That's what the team in Mississauga has been doing the last, you know, season, if not couple of seasons. And that could be an asset. It's a lot of youth. It's a lot of relative inexperience, but it's also then a lot of familiarity and a lot of chemistry, which I think many teams in the league do not have or do not possess. And you're putting a lot of stock in the inexperience, but putting more stock in the familiarity of these guys. And that could be an asset for Toronto that maybe some other teams ultimately don't have. And I think that's maybe with your Masai Ujiri and certainly Dwayne Casey, maybe that's what you're banking on. Because you don't have much else to bank on because there aren't a lot of other pieces that you can really look at and say, okay, well, there's that reliable vet that we can go to if the kids aren't working. That second unit has little to no vets at all. It's going to have to be the kids. And if they're not ready to step up, then that could ultimately be the Achilles heel of the Raptors if those youngsters are not ready or able to produce.
Eric Smith, the Raptors play-by-play voice, joining us here on Sportsnet tonight. Rob Wong and Sherry Ford here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. And you know, one of those young guys, obviously, you touched on is DeLon Wright. And I don't know necessarily if what he did last year, Eric, kind of came out of left field. I mean, people that saw him play with Raptors 905, he knew that he pretty much dominated that league every time he stepped on the floor. And, you know, he's a guy that spent a lot of time in college. He's not exactly, you know, 20 years old. This is a guy that's already 25, going to be 26 next April. He's clearly, you know, mature beyond his years and, you know, clearly has a ton of talent. What are you expecting out of DeLon Wright in his really second full season, I guess, now that he's finally fully healthy?
Yeah, I think you touch on it well, Rob, when you think about the maturity of him as a player, let alone as a person. I think a lot of it goes to not just the experience that he gains from a long college career, but just kind of being around the game, growing up the game. With his brother Darrell Wright being a longtime NBA player and just kind of being exposed to the life of a professional athlete. And you know, from an early age, getting an opportunity to work out and play and practice with his brother and many of the players in Miami, you know, not the least of which being Dwayne Wade, and hearing DeLon talk about, you know, off-season workouts where he was linked on, you know, arm-in-arm with Norm Powell down in Los Angeles and working with Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, just being exposed to those types of guys. And I think that, let alone DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry in the offseason and over the last couple of years in practices, I think the exposure to being around some of the greats in the game, some of the best in the game, and being just kind of, again, as I say, around the game itself for so long, going back to his youth, I think that just creates a more of an awareness and a little bit more experience. Even if it's mental experience, let alone now the physical experience that he'll have from being on the floor that much more. I think he's got the type of player that Toronto clearly felt comfortable enough handing the reins to by making the move involving Corey Joseph and moving him on, realizing that with his size, DeLon Wright, you know, 6'4", 6'5", long, athletic, quick, ability to get to the rim, long wingspan, ability to defend, I think a guy who's going to have to continue to work on his shot, but still a decent shooter right now and hopefully something that can become more consistent as the years go on. Good court vision overall. Doesn't seem to be the type of player that looks lost on the floor when he's out there or scared or timid on the floor. He plays with almost a sense of belonging, doesn't back down from challenges. I think a lot of those things are the intangibles that Masai Ujiri and the management team looked at and said, all right, this is a guy that we feel could have a really special impact, and I would kind of agree with that based on the limited sample sizes that we've seen from him. And that's not to slight either Fred VanVleet, who by all accounts has had one of the more impressive off seasons. You know, whether you're thinking about Vegas or even just the informal workouts that the Raptors have had, VanVleet continues to be a guy that you know, is, I don't know if it's fair to say turning heads, but certainly opening eyes or keeping eyes open. And I don't know if you saw the quote, guys, I keep saying guys.
That's okay.
I'm used to saying guys.
I'm good with that. I am so
you
good
are
with
one
that.
Of the guys,
I belong. Know. I've been one of the guys forever.
Rob's one of the girls, and you're one of the guys. It's all, you know, it's all part of the game. But you know what I'm saying. VanVleet, if you saw the comment from Kyle Lowry in the last day or two, where Lowry acknowledging that VanVleet looks better and performs better than even he did at that same age when he first came into the NBA. So, you know, there's a lot of stock, I think, in what the Raptors are doing at the guard position, and hopefully it translates come the regular season as well.
It's interesting that, you know, in the off season, the Raptors say, you know, we have to evolve. We need a culture reset. Obviously, they want more passing. They want not the old school game. They want to see more threes. But like DeMar DeRozan, they've kind of been on him. They've been on him to, you know, evolve his game. But he's still, DeMar DeRozan. So I'm sure DeMar DeRozan is kind of like rolling his eyes sometimes going, I'm still here. Like, I know you're trying to change me. I know I need better threes. I know I need, you know, to pass more. But I'm still the same guy. How is DeRozan taking this?
He seems to be taking it well to this point. I had a chance to sit down with him for a good 15 minutes or so for Sportsnet yesterday on Media Day. And one of the things that he said to me, Sherry, was that, he said he acknowledged, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he acknowledged that he knows that he needs to shoot more threes and maybe develop that component of his game that much more. But he said, it's not as though suddenly I need to change how I play or where I am on the floor. He said, a lot of times those shots are or were there for me. It's just a matter of taking them. And he developed or has developed a bit more of a comfort zone at, say, 16, 18, 20 feet as opposed to 22 or 23 feet. But those shots are still there for him. And the one thing I would say about DeRozan, and I think you both would agree, is that over the course of his career, he has always come back, if not every season, every other season. I would probably argue every season, with something else in his arsenal. You know, it used to be that DeMar wasn't enough of a finisher. He needs to get to the rim. He needs to slash more. He needs to be more athletic. He needs to be more of a dunker. He needs to be better in the mid-range game. He's got to be a better defender. He's got to be better at the free throw line. Every year, it seems like there's something. And he, I think, more so than anybody else on the Raptors, has proven time and time again that he uses the offseason as efficiently as he can, and he always comes back a better player, even at this stage of his career. And even, answering some of the critics last year with those ridiculous SI rankings, which he's still not happy about this year, but the rankings that were in the 50s last year, now they're in the high 36 or whatever, high 30s this year. I think he just is always looking to prove those critics wrong. And it's funny how the mid-range has become this negative or a criticism where he's become so lethal at it that I look at it and say, it's a weapon. Why are we criticizing a weapon? I mean, just because he's not great at 23 feet doesn't mean he can't be absolutely lethal at 18 or 16 or 15 feet. I mean, if he's got the total package from the elbows that you can't stop him from, right side, left side, or getting to the rim or getting to the free throw line the last couple of seasons among the top 3-5 in the league year after year for the last few years, how can that not be considered a weapon? That's essentially a 3-point shot right there, especially if you're finishing with the bucket and one and going to the line. There's your 3-point shot right there. So I think at times we, or certainly more so a lot of the folks stateside that don't watch DeRozan as much, are probably a little more guilty of focusing on what he can't do as opposed to highlighting what he can. So I don't suddenly expect him to transform and become, Klay Thompson from distance. But at the same time, I don't know that he needs to be that type of player either. I think he just needs to develop the threat and know that the threat is there to keep defenses honest, but he still needs to do what he does, and he's been pretty damn good at what he does, at least for a few years now.
Eric Smith, Raptors radio play-by-play voice and Sportsnet reporter, joining us from BC, where the Raptors are holding training camp this week in Victoria. It is Sportsnet Tonight. Rob Wong and Sherry Ford here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. And one guy that I think, Eric, people are excited to see or interested to see how he evolves is Jonas Valanciunas, back for another season. We remember at the draft, a lot of reports out there that the Raptors were looking to move him. Obviously, that is not the case as he is back with the team. How do you think he's going to be utilized? I mean, I think the culture change and all that stuff, we have kind of gotten a sense recently that maybe it was a bit overblown. It's not like the Raptors are going to become the Golden State Warriors necessarily, but they're going to change their offense somewhat to try to, get up with the times. But how do you think JV is going to be utilized this upcoming season?
I think the big thing for him will be is how quickly can he develop some sort of chemistry and cohesiveness with Serge Ibaka, because, they only had, 25, 30 games roughly last year. So to have a training camp and a preseason, to be able to work out those nuances and the familiarity and where he likes to be on the floor, and I'm speaking about Ibaka, where Ibaka wants to be in relation to where Jonas is. Can Valanciunas do a better job of crashing the offensive glass? He's never going to be a guy that I think is going to grab the rebound and then suddenly be bounding down the floor with endless energy and long strides. He's a bigger dude. Simply put, he's just a bigger guy. He's a slower guy that obviously does not fit with the mold of so many players in today's NBA. But at the same time, the Golden State Warriors started Zaza Pachulia last year. They started Andrew Bogut the previous 2 years before that. Now, they might some nights have only played 16, 18, 20 minutes a night. Other nights, 30 minutes. But they still have that traditional slower big man in the middle, even with the weapons that they have. You still look at a guy, and not to say that Jonas Valanciunas has the skill set or the hands or the offensive ability of a Pau Gasol, but you look around the league and think of some of the other bigs, some of the other centers that are there, I think that Valanciunas can still play a role. I think it's imperative on the Raptors to use him or utilize him a little bit more, even if it's as a decoy, throwing the ball in, waiting for him to kick it back out, playing inside out, utilizing the post to see if maybe Jonas can draw a defender or two, then kick it out to an open shooter, whether it be a Lowry or a CJ Miles or somebody else. Can they find ways to use him, as I say, as that decoy, let alone as the go-to guy getting those touches? I think that's where maybe when Sherry addressed the potential change of style or change of culture, could Toronto at times, not regularly, not as their primary weapon, but could they at times be more aggressive in terms of making opponents match up against them instead of them being concerned about matching up against their opponents and matching the size or lack thereof of some of their opponents? Can they use Jonas and say, no, you've got to find a way to try and deal with our seven-footer, as opposed to us saying, okay, our seven-footer's coming out and we're going small because we've got to worry about you. I think that's where we maybe see a bit of a difference at times. And Valanciunas, to his credit, you know, all the criticism he took last year, if you think back to Lithuania and last summer in the Olympics and the Lithuanian coaches talking about his drive or his determination, his focus, et cetera, you didn't hear any of that this summer. And he's coming off a very successful summer with the Lithuanian national team. And he seems to be coming in with a different mindset and a different attitude of a sense of belonging and feeling like, no, I'm still a valuable part of this team, and looking forward to kind of showing that.
Will Valanciunas be a member of the Raptors at the end of the season?
I think so. And the reason I say that, Sherry, is as much as Rob said he's still here, I don't doubt for a moment that the Raptors attempted to make a move to see if there were suitors out there for him. And I think the fact that, he wasn't dealt doesn't mean there weren't suitors. It just means that the right deal wasn't there. I don't want to sound like I'm copping out on your question, but I'm the type of person that I kind of always say, sounds somewhat cliche. Hey, Wayne Gretzky was traded. Shaquille O'Neal was traded. The greats of the game have been traded. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was traded. If those players can be dealt, Jonas Valanciunas can be traded. If the right deal comes along that makes sense for this team, I think there's absolutely no way to guarantee that Valanciunas is in a Raptor uniform. But that's not to say that you're openly campaigning, trying to move him all year because you think you have to. I think he still can play a role, but you've always got to be listening. I mean, you got to be listening if the right deal comes along for Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan as well. But I just think that, Masai Ujiri is the kind of guy that is always ready to strike if opportunity presents itself. So I don't think I could say with any certainty that any player is going to be here in 6 or 12 months, from Valanciunas to anybody else for that matter on the roster.
One more before we let you go, Eric. And, as with every offseason and every training camp, there's always a ton of invites. And recently we saw Andy Routens get invited. We know Kyle Wilcher is with the Raptors at training camp as well. Kennedy Meeks is a guy that impressed during summer league. I mean, there's a lot of names in the mix here, but which of these guys do you think actually has a realistic chance of potentially cracking this opening night roster?
Well, for our colleague and a guy who's been a friend for a long time, I will acknowledge I'm pulling for Leo Routens to have his son play in the NBA and to see Andy Routens make this team. I think it'd be incredible for a Canadian guy to make this squad. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but Andy's wearing the old, well, I guess we could call it the old Amir Johnson number, but the old Vince Carter number, yeah. 15 as well. And listen, I'd be lying right now if I said I had enough of a gauge after one day to know how legit Andy's chances are. But the one guy that I think that I have in my mind that I think has a real good chance is one that you didn't mention. That's KJ McDaniels.
Right, yeah.
When he first came into the league playing, I believe, with Philadelphia, and he's kind of bounced around a little bit since and, had stops down in Houston. And I believe last year not ultimately able to stick with Brooklyn as well. He's got decent range. He's got a decent shot. Got a ton of athleticism. He's got a great NBA body. He's very athletic. He's very physically gifted. And to me, he's one of those guys that, is it simply skill or is it opportunity? Because if he gets the right opportunity, the right fit in the right city, in the right organization, I'm not talking, superstar, multi-year all-star, but is he a guy that could be a contributor and part of a rotation and a legit player? I think he could. I remember in his rookie year, both Jonesy and I looking at each other during a broadcast thinking, man, this guy's got a little bit of game to him. And it hasn't translated yet. But as I say, in the right opportunity, given the right chance, I think it could. So that's one guy that, you know, tell me in 2-3 weeks if I'm wrong, but I'm definitely keeping my eye on KJ McDaniels.
So you're saying he's the next Jamario Moon. Is that where we're going here, Eric?
That's probably, hey, you know what? And Jamario carved himself out, it was short, but a decent little career if you think about his time in Toronto and his lot, his role with that team. And then it parlayed into, you know, some legit play and legit minutes, even with the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, like it didn't last long. But while it did last, Jamario Moon, I mean, if you look back at his career, I don't think it's one that you laugh at. It's one that, I mean, he kind of carved out a little niche for a handful of years. And, you know, I think McDaniels is a guy that can play in this league. And again, he's the guy that I'm kind of keeping my eye on. I'm not going to guarantee it, but if there's one guy I'm thinking has more of an inside track at one of those, you know, one or two roster spots on this team, I'm looking at KJ McDaniels.
Yeah, he's very intriguing for sure, and somebody people are going to be keeping an eye on as training camp continues in Victoria, BC. Raptors' first preseason game is on Sunday against the LA Clippers. Thanks so much for doing this, Eric. Appreciate it, and enjoy your time out there.
Okay, thanks, Rob. Thanks, Sherry.